how do we work that into our plan and into some of the secrets of our labor?
So C-sections don't have to be a bad thing. There's such a bad negative vibe around C-sections, and we need to remember that a C-section can save you and your baby's life, and there are ways to make it special.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast. This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior gentle all-purpose emollient moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax.
Here on Baby Brunch, we love ourselves a doula, and it's always wonderful to be able to speak to one. Today, we're talking about the 11 secrets to an easy labor. Why did we choose 11 secrets? The truth is, I actually don't know, but we really wanted to lend support to everyone who is waiting for that baby. And our doula and our expert for today is Nishat Jaino. She's based in Cape Town. She used to be a radiographer, and a medical underwriter. Her own situation, and we've had this on Baby Brunch before, where our own situation dictates what we become eventually. You know, we see a need, like in your case with your two emergency births and your premature babies. And then we realize that we have something to give. So, Nish, welcome to Baby Brunch. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm the honored one, actually, to be on here. And I think this is a great thing that you're doing, and I'm glad that I can help spread a little bit of awareness.
Before we get to the awareness, how are the kids? Are they well? Are they thriving?
This Cape Town weather, let me tell you, it's hard enough getting the kids to school and back. That's all we can handle, and the flu is quite bad out there.
Yeah. Listen, we just wish you all well, and we hope that the flu will subside. We are talking labor. You know, there's so many secrets and there's so much advice. One of the reasons we started this podcast was because a lot of the advice we got didn't apply to us. You know, it was all international. We want to hear it from our local doulas. We want to hear it from our local moms. And we want to hear it from people that have experienced it. You know, if we think of easy labor, would you advise that we do a childbirth course? Is that something that you would recommend?
That is the number one thing that I recommend. That is, I think it's so important that moms are empowered, and the best way to do that is with knowledge. You need to be your own advocate, and it's your body, it's your birth, it's your baby, and it's your labor. And the only way to write the story is if you know what is going on. And the only way to do that is to educate yourself. The best thing to do is definitely take a childbirth course, but I would definitely recommend that you check that your educator is accredited. It doesn't only have to be, that's not the only route you can take. Chat to a doula, chat to other moms, go online, follow medical-based evidence pages, just read, educate yourself, and open yourself up to knowledge.
So if we choose our caregiver, I mean, how do we vet them? How do we make sure that our midwife or our doula is someone that is accredited? I mean, where do we start? You know, we really don't want complications, and we really don't want to be in it before we understand who we're dealing with.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid. I think there's a lot of intimidation, especially with first-time moms. We're afraid to ask the hard questions. And I mean, the internet is here and social media is here, and that's such a powerful tool. These days, we didn't have that back. There weren't as many social media pages when I had my kids. I didn't even know what a doula was. This is something I found way after the fact. And so I think don't be afraid to ask your doula, or even go around and ask your gynae, you know, what are your dates? What are your C-section dates? What are your vaginal dates? Don't be afraid to ask hard questions. Go and ask for a maternity ward tour. Ask if your hospital and your gynae are mother-baby friendly. And we can touch on that if you'd like, but basically they follow guidelines that the World Health Organization sets out, and they ensure that you have the best possible experience. They are mother and baby orientated. The focus is on you. Childbirth educators will actually be accredited and be able to show you their course and their details and where they got accredited. There are international guidelines and standards, even in South Africa. So don't be afraid to ask the hard questions.
I know a mommy now that she's pregnant. She's actually 40 weeks. She's hoping for a natural birth. You know, we always say if you hope for a C-section, we hope that you follow through and you get your C-section. If you hope for a natural birth, we hope that you get your natural birth and that it follows through to be that. What if you get to a situation where you really want a natural birth, right? And I mean, we are talking about the secrets of labor. You are in labor already, and now because of complications, we need to get to a C-section. I mean, as a doula, have you been in that situation before where we need to swap our goals, aspirations, ideas, expectancy of natural birth, and now we need to have a C-section?
Absolutely. I love birth plans. I think they're an amazing tool, but you have to be flexible with it. And unfortunately, in South Africa, you also have to be realistic. We have one of the highest C-section rates in the world. And so going in, you need to know there is a high chance of, yes, emergencies. And don't get me wrong, C-sections can absolutely save your life and your baby's life. But you need to know what you're getting into. And so one of my requirements is to always prepare my client and my patient no matter what. So you come with a flexible birth plan, but I will include C-section prep for you.
So I like that that is part of our plan, a birth plan, and the fact that if we don't have a natural birth, that part of the plan is we might have to have a C-section. I remember I wasn't prepared on knowledge around the C-section. It's just a place in the book that I skipped because I was very sure that I was going to have my babies naturally. And then when I had the C-section, I remember lying in bed knowing, oh, okay, I can't move. And then all of a sudden, I remembered I'm not allowed to drive for the next few weeks. So that was a big setback for me, thinking, okay, I'm going to be homebound or even in bed for a few days and then homebound without having to drive for the next few weeks because I need to heal my scar. How do we work that into our plan and into some of the secrets of our labor?
So C-sections don't have to be a bad thing. There's such a bad negative vibe around C-sections, and we need to remember that a C-section can save you and your baby's life, and there are ways to make it special. Talk to your gynae about having a gentle C-section. This means you can still have all the things that are important to you, like skin to skin, delayed cord clamping, a gentle environment, dim lighting, even music. You can ask your gynae to provide you with recitation or some gentle soothing music. Ask about having more than one person in the room with you. In a C-section, it is difficult, but your partner should definitely be allowed in, or your mom, or even your doula. A doula can assist in a C-section as well, just by providing emotional support. And recovery is such a big, important part. You spoke about being shocked about the fact that you were in so much pain, Ilana. You weren't able to walk. You knew you couldn't drive. These are things that sometimes parents do not consider. And we like to prepare the mom, because I think an overwhelmed mom is a scared mom, and that passes on to your baby as well. And it takes away from the magic of birth and having your first baby, especially. So I think it's really important to be prepared for every scenario, even an emergency where you could possibly have a premature baby. We pick our moms, we tell them to take a pump with. We are on call so that, you know, if we need to come in, we are there to help you. We are there to assist you with breastfeeding, how to pump when your baby's in the NICU, and just deal with the emotional separation as well. Being prepared is definitely key.
You know, things are so different now. I hear you say how we prepare for prem baby, you know, and I can almost answer this for you. We never knew that we would have prem babies because we weren't prepared for it. It wasn't part of the plan or the secret or the easy steps to labor, you know. You always just imagined having a well baby. You don't think your baby might be unwell or disabled, or might have an ailment that wasn't planned in the scan, you know. It's good that you are saying let's be aware of it so that we have less surprises when it comes to the actual labor. You also just reminded me of something that, you know, a lot of the time we think of labor as this one action, you know, labor happens and then the baby comes and that is labor. But yeah, Leading up to that, surely there's other things that we need to do and consider. I remember when we did a podcast on pregnancy and falling pregnant, you know, it's a whole journey And that's why they call it family planning, leading up to this time that baby is conceived. And there's certain things that we need to have in place. In terms of nutrition, I mean, is that important for labor during the pregnancy leading up to labor? What do you normally teach your mummies and families?
So yes, I mean, look, yes, we know pregnancy equals cravings, and I'm never going to discourage a mom to, you know, give into those cravings. It's a difficult time as it is, and if there's, you know, your joy comes from chocolate, go ahead. Just don't overdo it. You know, gestational diabetes is a real issue. And going into labor specifically, there are actually foods that can contribute to an easy labor. It can help open your cervix. Dates are so, so important. And my favorite tip is around 36 weeks to start eating about 6 to 9 dates. If you love dates, go for it. They're also really high in iron, which is great for a new mom to be. Raspberry leaf tea actually also helps soften the cervix, and you can drink about 3 cups a day. You can find this at your wellness warehouse or your local pharmacy. There are lots of other tips, but water, please hydrate moms. I know it's difficult, especially if you're struggling with nausea. A lot of moms tell me they cannot stomach or think of drinking water. Try ice chips, try flavoring the water, try sparkling water. Ice pops are a great way to get like hydration in. And try and have a balanced sort of view towards food. Give in to the cravings, but try and have a little bit of a healthy outlook as well. And remember, yes, you can eat for 2, but don't take that literally. You don't need to double every portion, but have fun with it. Have fun with your cravings.
How much prep do we need to do to the physical body before baby arrives? I mean, is prepping our boobs and getting our boobs ready for milk, our breasts, for feeding, is this part of labor? I mean, breastfeeding is always something that people speak about after baby is here, you know, and most of the time we realize that it's something that we can't do. But do we include that in our easy steps of labor? I mean, how do I prepare my breasts for feeding?
I'm so happy that you asked that, Ilana, because it's something that people forget to think about. We focus so much on the pregnancy and the birth and the labor that often the moms forget about the practicalities of having a baby afterwards. I know it's about the aesthetics and the nursery and the new cute newborn clothes, but I can just tell you that the most important thing you can do is go to a Lilesh Lee class, and you can find these all around the country. There's a Facebook group as well for them. Chat to your doula about talking about breastfeeding, how to breastfeed. Chat to your midwife, your gynae. Get a lactation consultant's number so that if you do have any issues, you've got one on call ready to come out. I'm also a postpartum doula, which means I take care of the moms after birth as well. So after I've seen to them, I'm trained to actually help them with breastfeeding. So make sure maybe your doula's got extra support in that way. Or if you've gone to a class, you know exactly how to position and feed your baby. Read, watch YouTube videos on positioning. You'd be surprised at how much information is out there. But I think it's really important to focus on the practicalities after you've given birth. And breastfeeding is such a huge thing. And check that your maternity ward has trained nurses that are able to assist you if you struggle, or that they have a lactation consultant in the ward. That would be amazing, because you have someone there ready to help you.
How important is it to prep the actual body and the cervix? I mean, we giggled initially when we saw it in the book, you know, the wife holding the mirror and the husband massaging. How much prep do we really need to do? I mean, this is something that we can all read up about, but for the sake of this podcast, and because we promised 11 secrets of labor, I mean, how much prep goes into the cervix, and can you give us some advice?
So it's called perineal massage, and we might giggle, but it's a great way for husband and a wife to get closer during this time. It's a great way to soften and prepare the tissue around the cervix, because remember, when you're giving natural labor, you're actually going to stretch the muscles and the tissue, and this will help prevent tearing, which is something we're all concerned about. Another great thing to do is towards your second trimester, when you're getting that energy back in, sign up for prenatal Pilates. It's a great way to strengthen your core and your pelvic floor, and it is a great tool for afterbirth as well. I cannot recommend it enough for postpartum moms. Go sign up for that Pilates class. Get your core back, get your stomach back, get your pelvic floor back. It's really an amazing tool. Squats, but please, if you haven't been able to bend and get down, please be very careful when you do things like this. So make sure there's something, a surface for you to hold onto when you need to get back up, or someone around to help you. And then a birthing ball or a yoga ball, bounce away. Especially the last few weeks, gravity is your friend. So just things like walking up and down steps, and then bouncing on your birth ball. These are really easy ways to get baby to drop into that pelvic floor, and it will speed up your birth and labor.
Just hearing you speak, it's like I'm awaiting this baby, you know. I think that is the most exciting part, you know, getting to move and getting to exercise and waiting for baby, bouncing on the ball. So now we've prepped the body, we've eaten right, we have looked up on C-section rates, we've included it into the birth plan so that we're not surprised. We've chosen our care providers carefully, and we've also made sure that post or after baby, we've got enough support with our lactation consultant. We've got a little black book where we've written down numbers. How important is the mind? How much mindfulness or support in the psychology do we allow or give ourselves? I mean, there is a time during this whole birthing process where we think, you know, I don't think I'm able to do it. I don't know if I'm capable. You know, the mind is so powerful. But in terms of mindfulness, how important is that during labor?
You'd be extremely surprised. The mind is such a powerful tool, Ilana, that you cannot be negative about your birth. You have to believe that your body can do this. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. So I would suggest, although you need to be realistic, surround yourself with positive people and positive stories about birth. Listen to other moms' experiences. But if they're going to be negative and tell you that you can't do it, that's not the kind of energy that you need. I would probably also recommend a hypnobirthing class, because that's an amazing tool where they teach you how to actually train the mind into calming and visualizing, and actually visualizing your birth, your labor, how to breathe. And these are really important things. And creating a really positive environment in your labor room while you are birthing, that's key. Another thing I would just like to say is that if you can birth at home for as long as possible, obviously these are just for low-risk moms, nothing high-risk. But if you know that you are going into labor, try and labor at home, because that is your safe space. You are at rest, you're comfortable at home, you're surrounded by friends and family. Create a warm environment. And even if you go into a hospital or birthing center or have a home birth, you need to create that same warm, nurturing environment so that you and your body can relax.
You just reminded me about being patient, you know, during this whole experience. How do we define high risk? I mean, you're at home and things are exciting, and it's nerve-wracking. You know, we need to manage our anxiety. There's perhaps other children as well. How do we know that it's time to go? What is considered high risk and what is considered low risk?
So high risk moms would need to get in contact with their maternity ward or the doctor as soon as their labor breaks. These are moms that have things like hypertension. They've got gestational diabetes or other complications with either themselves or their baby. So either their baby has a medical condition or the mom herself has a medical condition. We would prefer that you'd be observed, your baby be observed, and you might even be told that you need a C-section. And so these moms would have a planned due date. And if you go into labor, so that means you start feeling contractions, and these are timed contractions, so contractions that you can see are a set time apart and they're getting stronger and stronger, or your water breaks, get into contact with your doctor immediately, or even the maternity ward or the emergency unit, and you need to go straight in. But for our low-risk moms, these are moms who are having completely normal pregnancy. They've got no complications. They basically happy, no issues at all. You would normally start with something like that you would think is Braxton Hicks. And let me tell you, labor does not look like the movies. There isn't this big gush of water that just escapes, and, you know, moms are rushed into the hospital immediately. It really doesn't like that. Your first labor can take anything from 12 to 18 hours easily. So I think be prepared for that. it'll start off slow and steady, and you'll notice that these cramps are actually, they're becoming more regular and there's a pattern to them. And that's when you need to start timing them. If you've got no spotting, no severe pain, your water hasn't broken, and you have your contractions about 5 to 6 minutes apart, that's when you can go into the hospital.
Immediately, I want to set the environment and create this beautiful space to have baby. You know, if there was one secret to labor that you could share with us in planning our environment, you know, making it, because 12 hours is a very long time, and so is 24 and 48. So if we can create the perfect environment, give us some tips as to what some of your mommies are bringing with in order to, you know, before I pack the lava lamp and my back of salty cracks, what else do we put in our environment to make it beautiful?
So don't dismiss the snacks. You'd be surprised. If you are in labor for that long, you know, the vending machine only has so many limited things that you can eat a day. Pack that snack bag, and not just for you, but with dad as well. Because I promise you, I've seen dads eat their mom's snacks, and those moms are angry. And you don't want to mess with a mom in labor. So pack snacks for both you and dad. You could be there quite a while. Hydration is so important. And emptying your bladder quite regularly as well. You'd be surprised. But pack some lovely snacks, aromatherapy, but always check what your hospital will allow in and out. So I know of moms who have packed their whole bedroom only to find that the hospital doesn't allow for candles, etc. Aromatherapy can also irritate you during labor. So don't have your heart set on this one vibe. I think be always really flexible. But snacks, drinks, pillows, ask if they've got a birthing ball available for you or if you can bring your own one. And I think the best support and the best tip is to have a supported and educated husband or spouse or partner with you. That is key, because when you are in labor, you are not always able to speak up for yourself, and you might need your partner to do that. So take your partner with you to all those classes, whether it be breastfeeding or pushing or birthing. Whatever it be, you need someone who's involved, because at the end of the day, you might not be able to speak, and you need someone who knows what you want. So I think that's the best thing you can bring with you, is a supportive partner.
I think you've done it. You have given us more than 11 secrets to labor. This is amazing. We really appreciate your time, Nisha Jaino. She is a doula, and she can lend as much support to mommies who wants to give natural birth as to other mommies who wants to do C-sections. It really doesn't matter. It's on Baby Brunch that I learned that doulas are not just for mommies who want to give natural birth. You can take your doula along and make sure that your gynae and your doula have got a great relationship, especially for someone like Nishat, who works with mommies after the baby as well, and have as much support as you can. Nisha, tell us how we can get hold of you. Where's your platform? How can our moms? I've got your number, and I'm not going to give that just yet. How can our moms find you other than in our social media post?
Instagram page would be the best one. So my handle is Back to Nurture. I found that basically the name called to me, because obviously it was just going back to basics. And so Back to Nurture on Instagram, that's the best way. All my contact details are on there. And yeah.
Well, those were our 11 secrets to labor. Remember, if you've got any questions around this, you're welcome to contact us on our Baby Brunch page. Also, we'll be featuring Nishad's profile, so you can keep watching our social media pages or log on to babybrunch.co.za.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.